Well, God bless you all. Wonderful to be with you. I'm excited to share God's word with you all and consider some things. We're going to consider a record from the Old Testament tonight. So if you want to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22.
James
7. So, as a reminder, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction. When we look to understand God's written word, it's important we consider many of the biblical principles that assist us as we look to allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. One of those principles is things like administrations. You know, throughout the ages, God has made covenant promises with mankind and has given instruction on how he wants mankind to live. Those promises have changed over time, and if you look at them, they keep getting better until we have the wonderful new birth realities of today. Tonight we're going to consider a record involving David. So this occurs after God had chosen the children of Israel to be his people and had given them the law. For a long period of time, the children of Israel were led by prophets. Those prophets would receive information from God, and they would instruct them what to do, and God's people would hopefully listen. The children of Israel, after a while, were unhappy that they weren't like their neighbors. All those cool neighbors had these cool things called kings, and so they asked God for a king. And God selected Saul, who originally walked with and for God. However, he rejected God and his word and walked away from the things of God. So what happened was that God selected a new king, and that was David. If you look at the records of selecting David, we see the wonderful realities that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but looks upon the heart. David was one whose heart was right before God. So David becomes known to Saul, and David plays music for the king. He is considered a man of valor, a man of war. He's prudent in speech and a man of good presence, and became Saul's armor bearer. Right? After that, we come to the story that is the envy of every NBA basketball team, where he has an interaction with Goliath, right? We think of him as a young boy, but at that time, he was already known as a man of war and an armor bearer of Saul, and one well known within the kingdom. So if we remember, he slew Goliath, walking with and for God, and delivered God's people from the Philistines. At the time, the Philistines continued to be a large power within the land. Because of the attention that David received and the envy that Saul had towards David, Saul then tried to kill David, even though David was a faithful servant. With the help of Saul's son, David was able to run from the presence of Saul. And we're going to pick up the record in 1 Samuel 22. 2 minute summary covered many books of the Bible. So hopefully that's helpful to set some context. 1 Samuel chapter 22. So 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, it says, you want to next to grandma? You can share with her?
Yeah.
That's great. David therefore departed hence and escaped to the cave of Abdullon. And when his brothers and all of his fathers heard it, they went down thither to him. Right? Had a little family reunion in the cave. And every one of them that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Those who were with David this time would have been his family, those he would have known, but there would also be these other 400 individuals. And the scriptures describe them as ones who are suffering hardships, one who were escaping debt, and one that were discontented. It is notable they're not called mighty men of valor. They're called faithful men. They are don't have the greatest description, as we will continue to see. But these are the people that came to David. Verse 3, and David went hence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Right? David walked with and for God and was waiting for information from God. What a wonderful example. So many try to tell God what to do or get God to rubber stamp their ideas. Right? David was faithful to wait to get information from God. What we will see throughout this record and throughout the scriptures is God is the greatest communicator there is. There are those, never in the scriptures is there a place where people were like, I wonder if God was the one behind that, or God was the one who told me. Instead, God is a clear communicator, right? Verse 4, and he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee from the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. A prophet is one who speaks for God unto men, right? Okay. So we remember that David was waiting to see what God would want him to do. Well, God told him what to do. Isn't it lovely? He was looking for information and God provided it. And what did he do? He did it, right? He faithfully walked out on what God told him to do. So the remainder of this chapter follows Saul, that person who was still in the position of the king, but who God had already rejected, attempting to locate David, and we see to the extent in which Saul walked away from God. It's a really interesting record, a sad record, right, of a man who had walked with and for God and chose to follow a different path. After learning that a priest had helped David, Saul orders the death of all the priests and all their families. Only one is recorded as escaping and coming to David. It is a sad state of affairs. Let's pick up the record, and what I'd really like to focus on is the record that starts in chapter 23. So 1 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 1. It says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. So David is already on the run from Saul, right? They have these 400 questionable individuals with him, and maybe they picked up a little bit more. I think they'll say there's 600 at this time. Saul was the king of Israel, a powerful nation. Well, near we see a third party, right? The Philistines were attacking God's people at Keilah. At this time, David would have been about 17 miles away from Jerusalem, right? When we think of like the land of Israel, it's not a big location. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like here to UC San Diego, about 17 miles, right? When we think of the sizes involved. Verse 2. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. We'll stop right there. How wonderful, right? Yeah. There was a need, and what did he do? He asked God what to do, right? He didn't say, well, I have this great idea. Or let's get everybody together and come up with consensus opinion. No. He went to the Father and inquired of the Lord, right? And if we remember, there's a priest with him. A priest, a prophet, is one who speaks for God to men. A priest is one who represents men before God. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. How wonderful, right? David, who was in a place of running on his own and trying to avoid Saul and all the many men of valor that were out there to kill him, asked, what do I do about this other situation? God's people were under attack, and even though he was in a state of constant needing to escape, looks to help, and God says to go. Verse 3. This really interesting record gets even more interesting. Verse 3, and David's men, right, that's 400, 600 people, said unto him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the army of the Philistines? Well, we're kind of like not in the safest spot ourselves right now. And you want to go closer to Jerusalem where Saul is and attack the largest, you know, nation around, the Philistines. They had issues, right?
Yeah.
And what is it said? We're afraid here. We're going to go attack someone else? God had given instruction, right? They, here when it says, they were being chased by the king, they're moving closer to Saul, and now they were being told to attack another army, and they were afraid. Before we dig deeper into this record, let's take a second and remind ourselves of the importance of believing and what's an enemy of believing. So if you leave a marker here or a coaster or whatever you can find and turn to Mark chapter 5. Be back in just a minute, but in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll go to verse 35. We're picking up in just a really wonderful record, a record of the Lord Jesus Christ teaching the people, and at this time an individual who came to Jesus Christ because his daughter was sick. Jesus Christ was going to the daughter to heal the daughter. And it's picking up in verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, that's where they were going, which saith, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. The proper response to God's word, to instruction from God, is to be believe, right? Man's proper response always to God is to believe God. Believing would mean confidence, trust, or acceptance of information to the end of acting out upon it, right? Here, it is put in juxtaposition to fear, right? Fear is the enemy of believing, right? It's not the opposite of believing. There's believing and there's not believing, right? Fear, though, is what hinders believing, right? Because believing is confidence and trust in information. Someone told me this, and therefore I'm going to act out upon it, right? Fear would be something that restricts someone, would stop someone from then acting out on, having confidence or trust in that information. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. We're looking at a couple of instances of the enemies of believing, that which would hinder belief. If we remember in the record we're considering, they had received information from God, and what would have been the proper response? Believing, right? And instead, what did the men around David say?
We're afraid.
Right? Their response was that they were afraid. That would have hindered their believing. Proverbs chapter 29. There for me. Says, verse 25 of Proverbs 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare.
Yeah.
But though whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Mm-hmm. Right? Fear traps people. how different that is than what man considers fear, right? Some people value fear. Instead, fear would cause a snare. It would trap people. It would hinder them from going where they want to go. That's a snare, right? A rabbit's running along, it's trapped in the snare, and it can't fall along in our path, right? That would trap someone. Fear would do that. Look at Psalms 34. So, God's word makes very clear that fear is not something to look forward to, it's not something to desire, but it is a hindrance. It is a hindrance from what man's purpose is, which is to believe God. So in Psalms 34, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. How wonderful. God is spoken as a source of deliverance from fear. Now, a man has to choose to change their mind, right? You get to control what's up here. God doesn't change what's up here, even though we would desire it sometimes. And someone might say, well, God changed my mind on this. Well, no, that's your and my job, right? We choose what's going on in our heads. What it says here is so helpful, right? Because it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Right? There was a situation that was causing them fear. God, this individual sought God, and God delivered him. The man would then have the free will choice to believe God, right? Let's go back to 1 Samuel 23 again. So with that background, let's go back to our record. Hopefully you have a coaster there, or your neighbor's finger. Let's get right over to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And we'll read verse 3 again. It says, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we continue to Keilah against the army of the Philistines? Bullinger notes, Bullinger is a wonderful man who worked the scriptures, notes that the Hebrew word translated here as men is always used in a negative sense, denotes a mental issues like depravity, or when it's talking about mental issue, it talks about moral depravity. When it's physical, it mentions frailness or weakness. These were less than stellar individuals, right? And their response would indicate that, right? From the five senses, it might be like, hey, we're kind of already struggling, but you want us to now go attack a superior force closer to that force that's looking to kill us? They chose to be afraid. The scriptures do not yet say what David's mindset was, right? We have not seen any indication of David, what David thought. But let's keep reading the record and see what we can learn. Verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. How interesting, right? Did David have instruction from God already?
Yes.
Was the instruction from God clear?
Yes.
The instruction from God is always clear, right? It's notable, right? David went back to God. He must have been affected by those around him and their fear, right? How wonderful, though, that David first went back and asked the question, right? There was a situation. There's all these people and other influences. What did he do? Well, he went back to God. Then let's see what it says. Then David inquired to the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered, I only tell you once. No. The Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. How remarkable. How wonderful of David to, in all of this commotion, say, I'm going to go ask. I got to ask again, right? How, like, human that is, right? Have you ever got information like, ooh, it's clear, but, like, there's all these things. How wonderful of David to go back and ask again. And then how wonderful of our Father to not be mad, to not reprove. But what did he do? He just gives him information, right? Gives him his word so that David could make the choice to believe. The choices were available were fear, right? Which was the 600 people around him, and information from God. And he chose, well, let's see what he chose, right? He went back to God and God gave him information. Can you all think of any other individuals in the scriptures who similarly did that? In situations where they received information from God and might have had questions or asked for maybe help in understanding or getting to the point of believing?
Moses,
right? Yeah, around the with the burning bush, right? God told Moses, go to the children of Israel. He's like, I'm not a good
God.
Yeah, you should send someone else, right? Remember Moses? Is Moses considered positively in the scriptures?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? He needed help to get to the point of believing God, right? It was ultimately his responsibility to believe God, but God lovingly helped him, right? What about Ananias? Remember Ananias in the scriptures? Paul is on his way to kill him and everyone around him, and God says, oh yeah, hey, remember that guy who's coming here to put you in jail and kill you? Go speak the word to him. And did Ananias need a little extra help to get to the point of believing? Yeah. Was our wonderful Heavenly Father provided more information, right? What about Gideon, right? Gideon needed a little extra help, right? Ultimately, it was Gideon's choice to believe, right? He needed help to get to the point of believing. God was still God. He had given instruction, yet how loving is our Heavenly Father? His desire is what? That we would walk with and for him. So if out of a honest desire to understand, these David in this instance, those other instances we mentioned, went back to the Father. Not to criticize, not to try to talk God out of it, but to make clear what was needed in the situation. And we see in those situations God giving his word so the person could choose to believe. So let's see what David did. Then David, read number four again. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Verse 5. So David and his men went. How wonderful. They could have done many things. They went. They went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. How amazing. This small band of people who would not have been considered like the, you know, mighty men of valor. They were instead people in debt and people who were just happy and went and defeated this giant army that was attacking God's people. And they got some cows too. Maybe some little piggies. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of, verse 6, the son of Ahimelech fled to David, to Keilah, that he came down with the ephod in his hand. And it was told David, that told Saul, that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. Now, is it true that Saul said this?
Yeah.
Yes, right? Is what Saul said true? No. Right? Everything in the scriptures happens. Like, it says happened, right?
Right.
Saul said it, but is it true that God had delivered David into his hands? No. Right? We always have to remember context, right? And so, verse 8. And Saul gathered all the people together to war and went down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. I wonder how David knew that. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come down to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell my servant. And the Lord said, he will come down.
Yeah.
You would think in a situation that it would be obvious of what to do. Wait, he's coming?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Well, what did he do? He asked God.
Yes.
You see men who walk with and for God, you know, they went to God to figure out what to do in the situation and then were faithful to do it. Verse 12, then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my people into the hands of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. They're going to give you up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, right, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. Get out of here. And it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness strongholds and remained in the mountains and the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him out of his hand. Delivered him not into his hand. Yeah. Isn't that an interesting record?
Yeah.
An instance where a wonderful man had to make a number of decisions, and all throughout he went to God and believed God. Right? When there was fear all around him, right, he recognized that God is what delivered him out of fear, right? So what did he do? Like in Psalms 34 said, he sought the Lord, right? And God gave him information, again, lovingly reconfirming what the instruction was. And David then went, and what it led to? Deliverance for God's people in that area, right? And then the next situation came. What did he do? He didn't rely on himself. He didn't rely on counsels. He went to God, and God again instructed him what to do. This was a wonderful man who walked with and for God, right? As sons and daughters of God, we have even greater access to our Heavenly Father. We are ones with Spirit within us, right? We too can go to God. In situations where there may be fear, we can seek the Father, right? Seek the Lord, and God will give instruction. So, go on the journey.
Yeah, amen.